Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Way UK podcast. We are in our final episode of the Let's Talk About Sin series. So we hope you enjoy this one. My name is Zenya and I am joined with
Jesse.
And we are also joined with a very special guest.
Yeah, come on.
Introduce yourself.
Levi here. This is very exciting. This is very new, but very exciting because I'm joining my friends.
Yeah, come on.
Let's go.
Mate, new guest, let's new go. Set.
Yeah, new set.
I feel like I'm in an art gallery right now.
Like a good one?
A great art gallery.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we've got a golden giraffe over there. exciting plants.
We've got this faces. Is great.
We have a bird box over there, which is a bit random.
It's the most eccentric place you've ever seen in your life.
Podcast X Gallery.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. And today we are in the final episode of Let's Talk About Sin, and we're going to talk about envy or comparison. Mm. It's going to get interesting. So we'll see where we go. But before we get there, let's go to the streets and see what you guys have to say. Do you think Christians struggle with comparison?
I've grown up in a Christian home. I've always struggled with comparison. And I think it's just reassuring yourselves and knowing and reading scripture and saying we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God.
Some degree of comparison can be healthy because it can make us closer to God and better Christians. But I think we can compare ourselves to both Christians and non-Christians, and I think there's definitely a point where it gets very unhealthy.
Especially in like the ministry context, we can sometimes look to someone and say, oh, they look so much more like connected to God and all that, but it's a lie. It's not true because we're as close to God as we can be like right now. So that is a lie. He loves you and he wants to draw close to you.
Once you truly know who you are and you know that the Father delights fully in you, then there's no room for comparison because you already have the full approval of the Father and you're not going to go looking to other people to say, oh, I want what he has, because you just know that the Lord has you and he's given you all that you need to have.
We're all made in the image of God and the perfect image, so he thinks you're beautiful no matter what you do, really. I've personally struggled with like feeling like I could break underneath the weight of trying to be like a perfect Christian, and I feel like God has been saying to me to stay humble, stay curious and stay patient. Yeah, because I think sometimes I can be too like, oh, Jesus was patient all the time, Jesus was this all the time, when actually Jesus was fully God, so I need to humble myself and realise that I'm human and I'm not going to manage it. And then stay curious about my faith because I want to know more, and then stay patient because I know God will bring me knowledge in the end.
All right, so we went to the streets and we asked the people about comparison, and I feel like it's an interesting question to ask, do Christians struggle with comparison? Because I think people would assume that, you know, Christians, they have it all together, like, oh, they're walking with Jesus, so, you know, everything's good, but we're also human. So I just thought everyone's responses were really interesting. What do you think, Jesse?
I think you're totally right. As you saw, there are so many people who said they've grown up in Christian families, they've grown up as Christians, or they are a Christian, but it's still a real thing, and it's still a process, and people are still having to figure it out. And then but also I loved the comments later on about how actually when you learn to delight in God and when you learn who you are as like a child of God, you begin to realize that you don't lack anything. You lack nothing in Christ. Yeah, it's super interesting that there's such a variety of answers as well. Levi, mate, you want to add some thoughts? Special guest, Levi Smith.
Yeah, I think in this world we live in right now, it's telling us we need to earn more, we need to do more, we need to change this, change that. But yeah, I think it's reading the scriptures that are speaking life into yourself, speaking God identity in yourself, and this ruthless vulnerability with one another. But I loved everything that they said.
It's brilliant.
Come on, speaking life.
Come on.
And I guess like what you touched on, like people that grew up in Christian families or like Christian friendship groups, comparison can exist in that space. And I think you guys are so awesome because you guys are literally like besties. Like you guys have,
Let's go.
Look at that bromance. Come on, we love it. But I thought it'd be great for us. Oh, come on. Little groove.
Yeah.
Put some music on
we're
that.
Whipping them out already.
Yeah, sorry. We're going to be chaos.
No, but we love it. That's what we're here for, to be honest. That's what we're here for. But I thought it'd be great if you guys could maybe touch on like your friendship. Like how do you guys know each other? being friends in the same, I guess, church circles and all that stuff. Like, how do you guys know each other? How's the friendship? What's the team?
Had a fun ride.
We have. How did we meet? It was years ago, wasn't it?
I think we're talking 2.5 years ago.
Mm.
Was the special moment. That is crazy.
The special day.
That is cut it.
No, keep that.
You saw each other from across the room.
Levi Smith just called me special.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to put that on my wall.
Do you want to share this bit or shall I share it?
You start us off. Yeah.
So we were at, my dad was recording some music at this local studio. Mm. Both our parents, big up Lou.
Lou Fell.
Both of them have been kind of close friends for a long time. Mm. But we've never actually met, but have known of each other. And I think dad was doing some sort of recording, inviting loads of my mates to sing on a track, do some sort of like gang vocal. And Jesse came along with Lou.
My mum.
Big up Lou. Brilliant.
Yeah, come on.
It was like a group of 20 lads.
Yeah.
And then me and my mum. It was just super random, wasn't it? But it was brilliant.
Yeah. And we kind of knew of each other. So it was like a great meeting and did this gang vocal, which was fun. And then decided like from there, like let's hang and properly get to know each other.
There was this fact is one of my favorite ones. But when I was born, my first ever pair of shoes ever as like a man or a boy was bought by your dad, which I think told you that before?
I think you have.
Levi's dad gifted my parents and me a pair of shoes when I was born.
Wow.
And so that was my first ever pair of shoes.
Do you know what they were?
Probably like
Adidas, Sambas. What are we talking?
You know, maybe some Birks, I reckon.
Wow.
Felt like
straight up
come out the womb.
Okay, cool. So we've talked about Birks and we've talked about families and friends and stuff like that. But like you said, you guys met 2 years ago. But I think, you know, we were all teenagers once. We all went to school. We've all had to struggle with, I guess, like identity and belonging and trying to figure out where we are in life. Mm. And I think when you're a teenager, like comparison and envy is a hot topic, you know? So like for both of you, like as boys, how was that like? Like in school, did you ever feel like pressured to be like people in your school? Did you ever feel like you compared yourself to people in church? Like what was that like for both of you?
No, I mean, definitely had experiences of comparison as a teenager. The longing to fit in and to belong is so normal and so natural.
Yeah.
And when you see people who you think have it together, it was always the tough nuts in school, the tough cookies, the guys who were popular and got all the girls. I used to look at them and I wouldn't say it was like a massive, obvious comparison where I'd look at them and look at me in the mirror and kind of sigh and cry. But it was very subtle, but very strong. I'd like begin to make choices and do this or do that similar to these cool guys. Like I used to go to a party and have a drink or something, or I'd beef some guy. Like this is some random story that I'm remembering, but there's a time when it was very cool to have beef with someone and to like pick a bone or have an argument or like a bit of, with someone. And I'm so not that. I'm not a like fiery little kid. I was like a church boy full through, but because it was cool to have beef, I had beef with this guy because he chatted about me behind my back, and I kind of had this couple months of beefing this guy.
Deep.
And then we actually got in a fight, partially because I kissed his girlfriend.
Oh
wow.
But partially because the beef was real.
Wow.
And
hot beef.
Yeah. And he won and he like slammed my face in. So I'd say like,
I'm sorry, bro.
Cool. Yeah, it's all right. Still dealing with it.
Cool.
but like, I think that all stemmed from this place of comparison.
Mm.
It all stemmed from this place of longing to belong, longing to be someone who was like cool and attractive. Mm. And actually that wasn't who I was. I wasn't the tough nut.
Mm.
Still aren't. But
I can't relate.
Mate, were you perfect in school, Levi Smith?
Well, I wouldn't say perfect. at all, but I think from as long as I can remember, I've been, I guess that's the son, right, that's never felt like he's had a distant father, like the son that's never had a father that's left him. And I've always felt like just this closeness of the father.
As in Father God?
Father God, yes. Yeah. I'd say spiritual. And then being so blessed with my like earthly father, I guess, as well. And the family and the, I guess, safety of the family I've grown up in. And I think for me, I was very protected in a beautiful way. Very protected in kind of my emotions and the people I could talk to, siblings I could talk to, parents who were very open at talking about this, and kind of in the car journeys on the way home, just being like, this happened today at school and this made me really sad. And I'm like, I just remember asking like mum or dad, whoever's picking him up, just like, what, like, why? Like, why does this happen? Or like, why does this make me feel like this? So yeah, I think I was very much more of like an inward processor, and probably still am, in the way I like compared myself and dealt with comparison. And yeah, I think it was, there was just that, I guess that blessing of just family and safety in that bubble. And until I moved out was a big moment for me where I was like, kind of my eyes were open to the world a bit more and to the harsh reality of this and many other things. So, yeah.
That's great. No, and I think like being able to have people to process what you're going through with is such a key for comparison, because often it's the thoughts in our heads, you know, and the things that we think to ourselves. And because we have nobody else to soundboard that off with, our, I guess, feelings can almost become like facts. And so we think that's what it is. And then that's where the comparison starts, because you're like, no, it is a fact. Like, I'm not as cool as them, or I don't have what they have, or I'm lacking in this area. When really, like, it's the people around us that we feel safe enough that we can talk to. And they'll be like, actually, no, that's not the truth of who you are. Like, that's not the truth of your situation. But it's easy when you can run that rat race in your mind. And I think being adults, like, it's being able to be confident enough to say that to people, you know? And I think we live in a society where when you're a young person, like, you have to have it all together and you have to like handle your own. And I feel like in those moments of isolation where you're trying to figure yourself out, that's where comparison and envy can prop up. So for you lot now, like, do you still struggle with comparison? Is that something that still affects you now that you're like adults trying to figure out life? Like, what's your relationship with envy and comparison now?
I think for me personally, similar with Levi, it's like when you move to a new city, when you're trying to find that, I said it earlier, but like belonging, that where do I fit? Who am I? Like, how can I fit? I definitely have felt it. And I think I still feel it often. Like, there's so much scope to feel comparison because there's people around you. It's like supernatural. It's not just because of Instagram. Like, in the Bible, Cain and Abel compared themselves to each other.
Yeah.
And they didn't have Instagram and they went looking through each other's feeds. It's like, it's actually quite a normal, natural thing. But I think, although it hasn't gone away, what I have learned to do is how to navigate it when it comes. Where before it would rob me and it would tear me down. Now I'd say comparison comes and I can recognize it and I can name it and I can attack it.
Great.
And we'll go deeper into that and like some practicals and how we got there and how I got there. But I'd say comparison's a really normal feeling and it's okay that comparison comes up, but let's just learn how to deal with it.
That's great.
What are you saying?
That's good. I love that. It's really good.
How have you found, like you said, like moving out, like moving into your own place, finding your own community? Like, how have you, what's your journey or relationship with comparison been in like the last few years?
Yeah, I'd say like, I think with the kind of process of moving out, I remember it didn't feel like something I had to do. It felt like something I needed to do. And felt so right the whole time. It was uncomfortable, but I think I was like craving, maybe craving is not the right word. I was, yeah, just wanting like a bit more of an uncomfortability, which is weird to then learn to grow in some things where I was like, probably had a lot of pride around of thinking, oh, like, no, I don't feel that. Or like, this came up, but I'm like, I'm okay with that. I don't have to go into that. But I guess through moving up, yeah, I realized I was very wrong in a lot of that. And little things that I thought weren't kind of worth like bringing up with people were actually really important to, and have made me like open my eyes a lot more to how to kind of have the sword to combat it, and to almost put on the armor of like, okay, when this comes up, when I feel this, when this person says this, I know what to do now. I know what to do. And it's not like I found it. It's not like I found how to do that, how to combat it. But I definitely would say like within these 2 years to now, I feel like very much in a place where I feel secure in that.
And I think what we're talking about, especially getting into the practical side of things, I feel like so many people are in schools or at university and in places where they're in new environments, but they have to kind of like navigate those, like we were saying, and trying to help them with comparison would be really, really cool. And maybe from you guys, from a place of like your relationship, like your friendship, like how have you been able to combat those moments of comparison, maybe even between each other, where it's like, oh, I feel a type of way about you, but how do I bring that to you? Or how do I wrestle with that? Like, have you guys ever had moments of comparison? I mean, you guys are both musicians. You guys are quite similar. You both wear crop t-shirts. Like, I mean, the comparison's there.
But, Levi paved the way. Levi paved the way, I'll be real.
Come on, get the scissors out, mate. Trust me.
Yeah, honestly, it will change your life forever.
There's no pressure.
This is cropped. Is yours cropped today?
Today is cropped, and it's a bit embarrassing because...
I've cropped my pockets,
which you got to be careful when cutting your t-shirts, because I've cropped my pockets. So if you take one thing away from this, don't crop your pockets.
Did you learn it the hard way? Did you put like your phone in there or anything? Or did you?
I knew all along. And I just want to bring it up.
No, it's great you practicing vulnerability and honesty on camera as well.
Well, it could be the new trend.
Sorry, I've like totally changed. But like there's definitely been moments in our journey where I think comparisons come up. And you're right, Zen. Like there's lots of things that me and Levi are very similar in. Yet we moved to London from Brighton at the same time, in the same stage of life, pursuing the same goals and the same dreams. There's just so much scope for comparison. And the reason we've kind of invited Levi on today is because me and you have had a journey in this, but there's been real freedom in that. And like, we almost want to unpick our story a little bit, because actually almost to like not show you, because we've got it perfect, but show you, because there is a process and there is like healing in that
massively.
And I remember the first time, oh, this sounds like super deep, but it's not actually that deep. Subconsciously comparing myself to the Levi Smith. I know that sounds like so massive, doesn't it? But like a little bit. Me and Levi went to a Reggie Snow gig about 2.5 years ago. I had a spare ticket, didn't have anyone to go with, so I dropped you a text and we'd hung out like twice. It was an interesting gig, wasn't it? You want to share your favourite word? To describe the evening,
let's just say there was some smells in the room
smells
that made us yeah, not want to be in the room for much longer.
No.
Is that a good way of saying it? Yeah.
Hotboxed. Yeah.
There we go.
Unintentionally. We didn't realise.
So that was kind of our third time meeting each other, being hotboxed in this tiny venue.
Oh, mate, it was chaos.
Watching this gig. It was vulnerable.
It was, you know, it's exposing. And then we left the gig.
We were okay by this point.
We were okay. We were all right. And we were walking back home, I think. And we just like asked, oh, like, what's your plans? What do you want to do like come September? I think it was like April-ish at that time. And we both said, oh, we're thinking about this place called St. Paul's Hammersmith. And we were both like, oh, you're also going to say, oh. And I remember the first time being like, oh, man, Levi's going to St. Paul. He's so cool. And he's like got things together. And like, how am I going to, and beginning to like almost compare myself to you. I'm thinking, oh, am I even going to like have friends if Levi's there? Me, I don't know Levi very well. Are we even going to be friends? And I remember it kind of feeling like, I don't know, the first moment where I kind of compared myself blatantly to you, I'd say. What would you...
Yeah, and which was like kind of the first moment for me as well, where it was like, whoa, like, okay... This, I thought this was going to be something like I step out and do and kind of, yeah, have no one from Brighton or in close proximity of where I was living, like kind of do the same thing I was doing. And I just remember like just feeling this like heavy heart.
Wow.
And this like, just this heaviness of like, oh no, this was my thing.
Yeah.
And it was so ugly thinking back to it. Cause it thankfully didn't like come out in words, but was like, I think we both can look back to that moment and just even name it now. And through a lot of the process, which you have is remembering that for both of us was just like a button heads moment of this is not where we want to be, but we've already fallen into this and let the enemy take over in this.
And what's crazy is it was two way. It wasn't just like one person. It's like, it just kind of highlights how like slightly silly it is. We were both feeling the same weight of like, oh, this is my thing. Oh, you're taking my ground. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It was like the same weight.
Yeah.
And instead of it bringing us closer to come together and like push into it together, it did leave room to almost cause a bit of division. Like, oh, I almost don't want to push into that because, I don't know, it just feels like, oh, a little bit of butt heads. And when we moved, it didn't feel like it settled instantly, did it? We went on a long process for like probably about a year, wasn't it? Or maybe like 6-7 months.
Yeah. And I guess this is where it's scary is that for some, it can be so unspoken about comparison. I think like it can be such a thing, which is like you feel a heaviness, but you don't know why you do. And it's like until you kind of speak to someone which you can trust, that's not the person, and be like, I'm feeling that, like I'm feeling all this heaviness. Like I need help. Like why is this? I think is where like there's freedom in it, and freedom in kind of trying to put a stamp on it.
Yeah,
because it's not who we're made to be. It's not who we're made to carry. Like what?
That's great.
It's not what we're made to carry.
Yeah,
and
It's an evil thing, to be honest. It's an evil thing of the enemy wanting to destroy friendships, to destroy God's plan. And I feel for us, it was, looking back to that time, it was kind of the start of a moment of like the enemy trying to stop me and Jesse like flourishing in our full potential, moving up and doing what we've both felt like we've wanted to do. And it was just a moment where we're like, oh, we're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And this is crazy. And like literally the exact same thing of like wanting to do music in London.
Yeah.
Moving to the same community.
Yeah.
Which there wasn't loads of guys, even young guys.
That was the thing as well, wasn't it? It was kind of just me and you.
Yeah.
Like when we joined.
So, yeah.
There was like barely any people our age. It was me, you. A couple months later, Rory Myers joined.
Big up Rory.
Come on. Come on, love Rory. Wow. And like there was just like
Which was kind of like the thing of like, oh, am I going to have to be friends with this guy? Like, am I actually going to have to be?
No, jokes. I'm
this is what I felt in the moment. Like, and it was, it was like ugly, the stuff that was coming up. And even to say like, I thought that, it was like, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
So I think like going on this journey of kind of this unspokenness where we'd, certain moments like butt heads a little bit and not really know why I guess led to this moment where I can remember us like traveling back from this gig we were doing that was somewhere far.
It was like in Norwich or something. Somewhere we were far. Both playing at the same same venue, wasn't
same
it?
Venue, which is great, but it was like it's too far.
Yeah, it was ages away.
But it was like a 4 a.m. we were getting back.
Wow.
Yeah, not fun. Tough. But I can remember this moment of like, we were traveling back. Jesse was driving. I think you'd just passed your test.
Yeah.
So I was.
Levi told me to not go as quick. I remember that.
Praying my deepest prayers.
Nah.
My Lord, get me back safe tonight. I want to get back in my bed.
I literally remember you going, mate, maybe just don't go 100. I was like, oh, I'm going 100.
Yeah. I think I bought you a Red Bull.
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah. Something. Sorry, I just had to add that.
No, please. yeah, we get it. You buy me things, you have me. Right.
I remember like we kind of got closer back to my home.
Mm.
It's like a 2-hour journey. And we were just, the chats were getting deep. Let's just say that. It was beautiful.
Mm.
And it felt like a moment of the Holy Spirit really coming. Kind of coming into the presence of the car and just like taking over every word I was saying, every word you were saying.
Yeah.
It kind of led to this like brutal honesty and naming of moments which we've both kind of dealt with and felt towards each other that just had really, I guess, offended or upset us both. And kind of led to this like, brutal, honesty, beautiful moment where we were just kind of both just crying in the car together and just praying like to the Lord of just like this, we're not going to let the enemy like take our friendship away from us. Like we're going to fight for this. And I think in that moment, we both were just like declaring like life into our friendship and just like, which is a testament to people listening, because it's for that brutal honesty, that brutal naming, which can be so hard. And it's like, even in that moment, for both of us, are like, I can't remember getting into the car and thinking, bro, I'm going to like...
Now's the moment.
2 hours in, like, I'm going to like pull up this like comment. Yeah. And then we're going to start speaking about it. But it was like completely the Holy Spirit and trusting that and... kind of led to this beautiful moment of freedom for our friendship. And it wasn't like it, cool, we're fine now from that moment. It was like, no, we're going to fight.
Yeah.
And we're going to like try our best to name every little thing that comes up, even to like stupid little things where you're like, ah, I saw you doing this and I wish I was doing that. Or like,
you bought a red tracksuit.
You bought
me
a red tracksuit. I really wanted a red tracksuit.
Yeah. It was so beautiful. And there was, we were sorry as well.
Mm.
I think there was a real holy grief.
Mm.
Like a real, we were just sad and almost like mourning.
Yeah.
Wow. The loss of what had been taken away from us this past 6 months, this past 8 months or whatever. Because we, it was a hindrance to our friendship. And we just said we were really sorry for anything we held against each other. And we pray that God will move in it.
Yeah.
And he did. And it was the beginning, I think, of like us learning how to deal when, because those situations still come up. Even like last weekend, we both named like a moment where Levi played at David's tent like 7 times. And there was like one moment where I was like, oh man, I wish I was playing for that. And I mentioned that to Levi today.
Mm.
And he said, oh, when I was playing, I was thinking, oh man, I don't want to misquote. What were you thinking? You were saying like,
I think, yeah, from my side, I wanted you to be aware that how that would have been hard.
Yeah.
For you.
Mm.
Which is quite a weird way to say it from my end of like, it's like, I never want to put that pressure on you to expect that you did feel envious or you did feel this comparison whilst I was playing.
Yeah.
But I think even on the flip side of like, people who are aware that they lead, like we all lead, we all are being watched. And I think it's knowing that is really powerful, which is ultimately humility of knowing the ground you walk on, knowing the gifts that are in front of you, and knowing why you're in a certain room like doing these things. And
for real.
And for both of us, that's music, which is beautiful.
And we've been in some crazy rooms.
Crazy rooms.
Like God's blessed us deeply.
Yeah.
So there's not even really like anything to be.
No.
And like, yeah, I'd say when those moments come, like I just think that's phenomenal that you were thinking of me and thinking, oh, I wonder how this is for my friend Jesse. Because we've been on this process. And when it came up for me, I went, oh man. And I actually, it turned to praise. I was like thanking God that he got to be on those places and thanking God that he's got a plan for me and you individually. And it was beautiful. And all of that has come from just being honest and vulnerable. Vulnerability feels so like scary, doesn't it? But because it like can be vulnerable because you hit tension points and you speak thoughts and you speak offense. But it's vulnerability in comparison is actually one of the best ways of combating it.
Yeah.
And like naming things when they come up, like moments you're feeling it, moments I'm feeling it. Sometimes we just pull each other aside and just be like, oh man, by the way, I really felt this in this moment, but it doesn't mean that I'm like, I don't like you. All it means is that I'm feeling it and I'm going to pray and let's just like make sure that we're in comms about it. And vulnerability, man, it seems scary, but it blesses friendship so deeply, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's sometimes like, I love that. It's sometimes like the cost of something when it feels so hard, like that can change everything. Like what costs everything changes everything. And I think to the story of like Mary with the alabaster jar, like smashing it at Jesus's feet. And like that was her year's wage, her year's earnings. And like, it was like everything.
Yeah,
for her.
It was. Yeah.
And you kind of put that in this context of like, and she smothered this oil in his hair and left like smelling the same as Jesus. See, this oil, this perfume that she'd never smelled. I like had a bit of a revelation the other day, like reading it again of like she, the oil and perfume that she'd never smelled, this earning the cost of the year's wage as she was like kind of massaging it into his hair, like she left with that same scent on her, in her hand, smelling like Jesus, smelling more like him.
Wow.
And when I read that or like hear that revelation, it kind of makes me think again of like, yeah, like when you bring a cost to something, when it costs something, he multiplies it. He makes you leave smelling better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think for us, this both cost us something. This cost me a lot. When you put that into comparison and envy and this emotion that we don't want to feel, it's like when you know it's a cost for you to do that, it will change everything in your life.
Yeah. Mm.
And it will change like the simplest kind of moment of bringing light to something and bringing light to a word. And will change your life. And I think a cautious thing in this, which I did, was hidden like a bit of the half truth of it, hidden a bit of like, I can be this vulnerable with him, but not going to go fully.
Wow.
And I think that's a slippery slope as well, because what isn't fully brought into the light can't be fully healed.
Gosh.
And I think even that is like a slight kick up the bum of like, if you want it to cost something, you got to share everything.
Wow.
And you can't hide in this half truth, which I think you see that in a lot of churches and leaders that have sadly like fallen off a bit of, I think it's that half truth thing of not fully having someone to be vulnerable with and be held accountable for things they're doing, or because everyone's broken, we're all broken, and it's I guess through a lot of this journey we've like gone on this journey of, okay, how are we gonna deal with this, like, and it's been fun.
Yeah,
and crazy.
We have such fun.
We do have a laugh.
We have great friends.
Yeah,
we have great times together. We drink great coffee. We get to play on worship team. Yeah. Like we get to play this Sunday together on worship team, and it's so much fun.
And I guess to add to that quick, like, I think there's a thing in like celebration.
Yeah,
like learning to celebrate your friends.
Yeah,
like. That's really powerful. Like, if that's one thing you hear from this, is learn to celebrate your friends. Learn to celebrate the person that you feel envious towards.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. And I think, like, for us, we decided, like, to almost have pride now when we see each other doing our thing.
Yeah.
Like, and for you, that's a lot of things where I'm just like, I'm so prideful for you and so proud of the things you're doing, the people you're communicating with. And to slightly honor Jesse on here, because I know you don't get that ever, like, that you are someone that is completely the same off this camera, off this set right now. Mm. You are someone that, makes a nobody a somebody, and you pick out the one.
Mm.
And I think you give out a lot. I know you give out a lot in this. And it's costly again. It costs a lot to do that, to be vulnerable, to be constantly like pouring out. But yeah, just want to honor that in this front of everyone.
Oh, now my sacrifice is worth nothing.
It's
no,
beautiful, but it's really powerful.
Mm. Oh, mate. See what I mean? Breakthrough.
Come on.
It's like available.
Yeah.
Come on.
This is
Come
available. On. Like, thanks, Levs. That's really kind of you to encourage.
I mean it.
Yeah. I know. And I think, like, there's always opportunity to either create division or unity.
Mm.
In every scenario, in every comparison. And we've just learned how to make it draw us closer and push us further away. God's in tension. He loves tension. And, like, we felt tension, but we found God there.
Mm.
Great.
And it, like, invites us to something beyond the surface, invites us to something beyond a smile when things aren't okay inside. Invites us to reality and to realness.
It's good.
And
it's good, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what you were talking about before, about that moment in the car where, like, you could have just rested in the half-truth of how you were feeling, but actually you felt like, no, this is a friendship worth fighting for. Let's actually put all the cards on the table. I think it only takes knowing who you are to be able to do that. And I think comparison stops when identity starts, you know? I think when you know who you are and you're so strong in your own identity, there is no way for comparison to be there. And I think even listening to your story, like when you first met and you went to that gig together, and it's like, oh my gosh, you're moving to London, I'm moving to London. Oh my gosh, you do what I do that. Oh my gosh, you're going to that church, I'm going to that church. I think at that moment, like, you were just taking that step and that leap into like being adults and like figuring out this new, like, who is Levi, who is Jesse, like, who am I in adulthood? And I think at that early stage, the identity probably wasn't fully formed yet. And so comparison, that's a playground for comparison, because if you don't know who you are, you're just comparing yourself to anything that you see that's slightly close to you. But I think like throughout the years and like you both going in deeper devotion with God and even just being in church and just serving and just going closer to the Lord, he's revealed so much to both of you individually. And I think now it's like, no, you guys are strong in your identity. So now you're able to not even listen to the enemy and call things out. You know, I think of that scripture where it says, you know, as iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend. And I know we talk about that as like, oh yeah, we sharpen each other. Like, oh, when I'm doing, you know, bad, somebody helps me. But sharpening is friction and friction is hot and it does not feel nice. And I feel like that moment in that car was a real moment for friction, but friction is healthy. You know, friction makes things sharper. It makes things stronger. And I think for anybody listening or watching, like maybe you feel that comparison with a friend and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can say it, or oh, I don't want to bring it up because I don't want to rock the boat, or I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. But actually, friction in the right place is healthy.
Yeah.
Obviously, your friendship sounds very healthy, but I feel it's like a lot of people want, well, a lot of people would want this, but it's like you said, it's taken work, it's taken costs. Yeah. Like, how do you get to that place of health in a friendship where you can say, hey, mate, I was feeling this way and I just want to let you know that without it being awkward, without it being like, why would you even think that about me? You know, all those other things. Like, how do you get to that place with a friend where you can have these conversations?
You said it earlier, Zen. When identity starts, comparison begins to stop. And comparison doesn't just look like in friendships. Often my expectations on myself is what would make me look to Levi and be like, oh, he's further along, so I should be doing more. Often comparison can be subtle, but how it outworks and how it outplays is in expectations over yourself. I need to be hitting this by the time I'm 20. I need to be hitting this by the time I'm like 25. Oh, I'm not married and I'm 28. Oh gosh, I've failed at life. I mean, I'm not 28, but like, I think the outworking of comparison is just genuinely feeling pressure over your life. Feeling the pressure to perform, feeling the pressure to get ahead. And oh my gosh, it sucks. And it's so burdening and it's so like sticky and you feel stuck. And I feel it all the time. Like, I won't give the example because it's honest and vulnerable. And I'm not going to do that on camera. Sorry, guys. You can maybe text me or something, but no. But like, I had something last week that I was like shooting for, something that I thought I was like ready for, and something that I was trying to, it was almost like the next step for me in my life. And I went for it, and I kind of just realized as I was doing it, wow, I'm really not ready. And that I don't know why I stepped out and felt like I was ready, but part of that could have been comparison. Could have been this pressure on myself that it's ready for a next step, time for a next step. It's longing to be older. I used to always feel that. When I was 16, I wish I was like 20.
Yeah.
Now I'm 20, same. I'm like, wow, 16? I had no responsibility. It was brilliant. But I think the only thing that's shifted that in my life is understanding God's timing being perfect. God's timing and his plans and his processes being perfect. When I don't understand why I'm having a 6-month blip where I'm feeling like sad for 6 months, or like going through a season of this or going through a season of this, I need to remember that God's plan and God's timing is perfect.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm not alone in that. God is with me in that. But also, I think sonship, understanding who I am as a child of God, understanding that God's actually got his best intentions for me. Understanding that God's got a process. You're not going to, you know, teach a 3-month-old how to walk. Not because, like, it's not good to walk. That's a very good thing. But it's because it's not the right time, because his legs isn't developed enough to actually take the strength. And maybe God's literally just strengthening our legs, growing us as people, so that when it is our time to step into that godly desire.
Love it.
Step. Godly desire isn't a bad thing, but the enemy can twist it and make you think that you need it now. I desire to be married one day. I think God has a wife for me out there someday. That's going to be amazing when it comes. But it's not now. And that's fine. That doesn't mean that because I'm not receiving a godly desire now that it's wrong. It just means God's got a process with me before. You know? So it's like mismatched expectations, and the only thing that's changed it is trusting his plan and figuring out that who I am as a son. I'm like, I'm all right. God has his best intent for me. God loves me. God's got a plan for me.
Thank you, Lord.
It's good.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's good. Everyone has their own process.
Good, yeah.
And like, don't compare your process to somebody else's.
There's no point.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I think that was for us realizing that our lives are very different. Our paths are going to look very different. But it's learning to love the differences in a friendship. That's what it is. And I think I was minded as you're speaking that I have no idea where this verse is. So you might have told me. But the one on how where it says that we suffer with him so we can be glorified with him.
It's Romans 8, mate.
Romans 8.
You literally got it right in front of me.
I literally have it in front
prophetic
of me.
Prophetic right there.
Whoa, schwonk.
Come on, Lord.
It's right after sunset.
15. I don't really know what I was going to say from that, though.
No, go there,
that
though.
Just came to my mind.
Yeah, it's brilliant. What's helped you, like, specifically on your journey? Not just in here, but back in, like, a practical step.
Yeah.
Instagram, vulnerability.
There's never going to be a perfect moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To name and to be vulnerable. And again, like, I want to go back to celebration.
Yeah.
Celebrate the person. And make that kind of, when you see them, like, the top of your mind, top of your heart, to be like, okay, how can I, in what they're doing right now, how can I celebrate this?
Wow.
Celebrate, even if I'm like, I want to be doing this. This is really cool. How can I, and whether that's one moment of like going up to them, sharing something, you're like, this was incredible, and being authentic, being really real in affirming and seeing how God has made this person to be.
Three practicals that I wrote down: get off Instagram, pray, and be vulnerable with friends. That's me.
Come on.
That's great. No, I think in everything that you said, it all just comes back to that relationship with God, right? Yeah. And I feel like from that place of being able to go to God and speak to him, being able to actually air out, God, this is how I'm feeling. Like, God, I've seen this on Instagram. Like, somebody's doing this and I wanted to do that. Like, God, I want to be honest and tell you how I'm feeling. And then from that place, being able to discern when the right time is to bring it up with that person or to, like, address it. I think, you know, we can have zeal, we can have passion, we can have a desire to bring things up, but we need discernment in how to do it. And I think only the Holy Spirit can give you that discernment to tell you, okay, this is the way to address it. Or this is the situation when it would be the most wise to you as well. So I think that's really, really good, having that relationship. And I think ultimately, like, don't overthink it. Like,
come on.
What a great pod. Come on. That's come some on. Romance in there. That's some vulnerability in there. But ultimately, God uses it all, and it's gorgeous. So thank you guys for being vulnerable and sharing. And thank you for watching or listening, however you were tuning in. Thanks, Tom, to the last episode of Let's Talk About Sin. It's been great. Join us next week for another episode. It could be a testimony. It could be a Bible study. You're just going to have to tune in to find out. But thanks for watching or listening, and we'll see you. We'll see you next time.
See you next week.
Basically, you're going to say one of the person's names. So I'll say who is most likely to you, or who is da-da-da. And I'll say 3, 2, 1. And then you say the name. Who has the coolest guitar? 1, 2, 3.
What? Levi.
What am I? Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just got to say a name. Either Levi or Jesse.
Levi.
Levi.
Okay. Okay, who serves on the worship team more? One, two, three.
Levi.
Levi. Do you not think? I think you do it a little bit more. Maybe? I don't know. Yeah. Oh, no, you have been gone for like 3 months.
I've been gone. Shared.
Jesse.
Exposed. Okay, who makes the better coffee?
Three, one, Levi.
Jesse. Ooh. I'm telling you, I'll back you on this. I think you need to back yourself in this moment.
No.
You've made me a pour over.
This is false humility.
No. Because
oh, no, you're right. Pour over, I'm good at.
I do, I'm bougie.
You're a good flat
wire. I do espresso. You do pour over.
It's true.
Like Jesse's got this.
Different styles.
Come
different
on.
Styles.
Yeah.
And the last one. Who wears the crop top better? One, two, three.
Jesse. Oh, no, I'm joking. You're the OG. I can't do that.
Yeah,
it's Levi.
Like
John the Levi.
Mate, you're
it's
John
Levi.
The Baptist. You prepared the way.
John the Baptist.
I agree, Levi. What? I said you for everything. Is there something that I can win at?
No.
Who's the better piano player?
We got you on the coffee.
We're done.
We got you on the coffee, bro.
Oh,